I'm Lee Kachera with 4K Ranch in Edna, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agricultural on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
Wildfire relief from all over the nation is pouring into the Texas Panhandle. We'll have more on that coming up to kick off today's show.
In the wildfire-scorched Texas Panhandle, assistance for livestock producers is still needed. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Plus, our own Gary Joyner is in the Panhandle, and he'll have an update coming up from Gray County. It's all part of our extended coverage of Texas Panhandle wildfire relief coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Kerry Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now.
Help has poured into the Texas Panhandle from all over the nation following the largest wildfires in Texas history. Hemp Hill County Agent Andy Holloway.
We've received over 700 semi-loads of hay to just my county, most of which we've directed right out to the ranchers. If we knew about the rancher, large, small, in between, it didn't matter to us if they're a little rancher or a big rancher. We sent them semi-loads of hay, and then we've had hot shotters taking out hay to individual places for weeks now, and cattle cubes. The giving has been unbelievable.
The donations have been of all types, and every bit helps.
You know, I remember in 17, we didn't have much alfalfa hay given, and alfalfa is considered the cream of the cream of most hay. And we've had a lot of alfalfa hay given this year. And so I think people have heard that message. But I've had farmers from the Texas Panhandle that have sent corn stalk hay. Well, corn stalks are not very nutritious. They're just a filler. But let me tell you, when you don't have anything out there, zero, those cows will eat corn stalks, and you put some protein with it, and those cows are going to be just fine for a while. All of this matters. It all has a place. And every load of it, we're so grateful for.
Holloway says donations have come from over 25 states. Now, with more on Panhandle wildfire relief, here's Gary Joyner.
I'm in Pampa, and I'm pleased to be joined by the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent in Gray County, Marcus Preudinger. Marcus, you're handling and coordinating the livestock supply point here in Pampa. Tell me about what's been arriving and what may be needed right now by the ranchers impacted by the wildfires.
Yes, sir. What's been arriving, we've had some fence posts come in, milk replacer, cubes, texturized feed, all stock, and hay. A lot of that's still going to be needed for a while. Our recovery is going to be, you know, that between 2 and 5 years, depending on moisture. So we're on the guys that can't send stuff off. There's going to be a lot of need for those guys who can't do that. And so that stuff is still going to be needed. Stuff is slowing down because probably the news wearing off, but it's still going to be needed for a while.
The outpouring of support that you've seen, not probably just from Texans, but from a lot of sources.
Yes, sir. I was a county agent for 2 years in Kansas, and some of my old producers actually came down and donated their hay. They were some Amish folks, Mennonite folks. It was a good experience to see them again.
The agriculture community is a big family. Your neighbor may not need to be 5 miles away, but 200 miles away in their mind. You're seeing the outreach far and wide.
Yes, sir, we are. And in Greene County, we're also supporting our neighbors, both at the Miami Supply Point and at the Border Supply Point, helping them supply their stuff and their producers as well.
Specific to Gray County, cattle producers mostly, or others that are impacted?
A lot of cattle producers, some smaller ruminant producers as well. So there's just kind of a little bit of everything. And I got a couple of horse producers that've been coming in and getting stuff as well.
Some are very independent, not used to asking for help. And sometimes you just say, no, we'd like to help.
Yes, and there's been times we've gone down to their property and we said, we're sending stuff. What do you want?
How do you overcome that hesitancy?
Well, it's one of the ways you build trust. I mean, with Extension, we do their education for their CEUs and for crops, and then their adult education on ranching as well, and then we have their kids in 4-H. So that's kind of a nice built-in trust builder with them doing that, is because we get them on their just normal day-to-day life. They trust us with their kids in 4-H, so they're going to trust us in this environment as well.
How did your life change when this fire broke out?
For 2 days, I didn't get to go home, and then I've been working. I mean, still long hours, but my phone has not stopped ringing, and I'm just answering and move on.
You're actually listed, I believe, on our website as the contact for this supply point. So people are calling you directly saying, what can I do, or here's what I've got.
Yes, there they are.
And do you try to match need with incoming?
We do. Well, the ones that we know about, sometimes we don't know until somebody shows up at the front porch. And I got a bunch of lists on my phone and drop pins, and we'll send them out straight to the producer's ranch if they're needing it. And I have that in my phone. My committee's been a lot of help through the president, who's Todd Coombs, who works for Capital Farm Credit. And then actually another member, Kay Taylor, who's actually our agency manager for Farm Bureau here in Gray County, Roberts County.
6 months from now, the public itself maybe have moved on to another issue, another item of news for the day, but this continues to be a focus, I'm sure, in Gray County.
Yes, sir. I mean, this is fourth big fire in 2 decades, and so this will always be one of those reminders, and we just need to start figuring out some ways to help prevent this. And the Extension Farm Bureau, I mean, those are some of the tools for education to actually get it done.
Well, Marcus, what would you want the listeners to know about Gray County, the efforts that are underway here?
If you need it, you know, we haven't got to you yet. My number is across the world right now. Call me. We'll get it to you. We're here for you. I was like, that's what the basis of this animal supply point is just to get this stuff to those who are in need of it.
Just me.
Thank you, Marcus. We appreciate what you do for the ranchers and all the residents here in Gray County.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm Gary Joyner in Pampa for Texas Ag Today.
All of the donations for Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief have been welcome, but James Hunt tells us more will be needed.
For many ranchers in the Texas Panhandle, the road to recovery from wildfire losses is going to be a long one. Fortunately, they're getting a boost from the generosity of a lot of people all across the country. If you would like to make a monetary donation, go to the Texas Farm Bureau website, texasfarmbureau.org. Meanwhile, at the livestock supply points being operated by Texas A&M AgriLife, hay and feed are still being accepted, but they tell me fence supplies are especially needed, particularly 6-foot metal T-post and 12.5-gauge barbed wire. Find out more by contacting AgriLife or go to agrilifetoday.tamu.edu. Now, on another AgriLife topic, for farmers in the South Plains, AgriLife has 2 profitability spreadsheet workshops coming up soon. AgriLife economist Andrew Wright tells me the online interactive spreadsheet can be used not only to help with planting decisions, but also for strategy throughout the season.
There may be some opportunities, particularly I think on the marketing side, to understand what sort of opportunities are going to be there for them as the year goes on in terms of how they're going to market their crop, and maybe when are they going to market that crop in order to hit those high prices in the market, maybe avoid those low prices. There may be some opportunities in terms of certain inputs that they can maybe look at and plan when they're going to purchase in order to hit those times in the year where those prices are a little bit lower to help with those margins just a little bit.
Those AgriLife meetings are March 20th at the Extension office in Dimmitt and April 11th at the Extension office in Plainview, with a 9 a.m. start time at both locations. Contact those Extension offices for more information. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A quarter horse in Hood County has tested positive for equine pyroplasmosis.
It is the first case of the bloodborne infection in Texas this year. According to the Texas Animal Health Commission, EP affects horses, donkeys, mules, and zebras. It's transmitted through blood-to-blood contact, but many cases in Texas are linked to the use of dirty medical equipment. Symptoms include fever, reduced or lack of appetite, anemia, jaundice, exercise intolerance or weakness, swollen abdomen, labored breathing, colic, and/or sudden death. TAHC said bloodborne diseases like EP may be prevented by practicing strong biosecurity and implementing tick prevention protocols. They encourage horse owners to use only new, clean needles when injecting medicines. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Nominations are now open for the National Golden Spur Award and the Ranching Heritage Association's Working Cowboy Award. Nominations can be submitted at goldenspurhonors.com, or paper forms can be downloaded from that site and mailed in. Nominations for the 2024 recipients will be open through May 1st.
USDA has finalized a rule under the Packers and Stockyards Act. I'm Jessica Domel, and I'll have details coming up on Texas Ag Today.
The manufacturing process to create single-use plastics from agricultural byproducts for Fortune 500 companies. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have more details on Texas Ag Today.
These stories, plus a look at the markets, are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
We're the number one rated farm and ranch radio network in Texas. This is Texas Ag Today on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
USDA has finalized a rule under the Packers and Stockyards Act. Jessica Domel has the details.
To protect livestock and poultry producers from discrimination, retaliation, and deception in contracting, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has released the finalization of the Inclusive Competition and Market Integrity Rule under the Packers and Stockyards Act. The rule outlines prohibited practices like the adverse treatment of livestock and poultry producers and their cooperatives based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, and other factors. USDA says the rule will help producers and growers that have suffered from increasingly consolidated markets over the last 30 years by enhancing market integrity and ensuring fair access to economic opportunities. Here's U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack.
It's going to help producers receive protection against packers, swine contractors, and live poultry dealers who may be trying to terminate them on a pretext. For example, claiming that a poultry termination is on animal welfare grounds, or perhaps refusing to deal someone because they say their cattle quality is poor when it's not.
RJ Lair, Director of Government Affairs for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the final rule gives clarity on what discrimination, retaliation, and deception are.
On the retaliation side of it, it prohibits regulatory or adverse actions that would interfere with the lawful communications between a producer and a covered entity or the government. It also gives clarity on deception. It spells out that people that are engaged in contracts with certain covered entities can't change the contract midterms, can't give preferential treatment, can't give one contract to someone and give another contract to someone else when they're doing the same thing.
The rule sections on what retaliation and deception are essentially the same as the proposed rule. But AFBF notes USDA withdrew the term market vulnerable individual that was in the initial proposal.
So USDA proposed the definition for what a market vulnerable individual was. I mean, AFBF opposed USDA's definition of what a market vulnerable individual is because the Packers and Stockyards Act should be applicable to all producers regardless of that definition.
The rule also requires USDA monitoring, evaluation, and enforcement of compliance with aspects of the rule through record-keeping requirements. The rule will go into effect in May. Lair said two additional rules under the Packers and Stockyards Act are in the works.
There's two more proposed rules sitting down in the Office of Management and Budget right now, one dealing with the tournament system for poultry, and the other one dealing with harm to competition.
The text of those two proposed rules has not yet been released. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Single-use plastics are being produced from agricultural byproducts. Tom Nicoletti has more on how it works.
My guest again today is the CEO and co-founder of PlantSwitch, Dylan Baxter. His bioplastics company is producing plastic alternatives. Explain how the process will work and what type of single-use plastics will you be producing?
We take in the agricultural byproduct, typically either in its raw format or there's a pre-milling step, and then we transform that by our proprietary process where it's combined with other naturally derived polymers to create a finished resin. That resin is kind of in the form of a pellet, almost looks like animal feed. And that goes off to plastic manufacturers who can melt it, mold it into the forks, knives, spoons, coffee capsules, agricultural products. Even we're working with things like flower pots, long clippers, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be used across a really wide array of different products. We kind of got our feet wet in the food service game with single use plastics. We're under development with even some agricultural products companies. Really excited about the potential of this technology.
Now, as far as your market is concerned, as I understand, you're looking at multiple Fortune 500 companies?
That's correct. We have partnered with multiple Fortune 500 companies where you will start seeing our products over this year, actually. We have begun producing for one of them. The demand for plastic alternatives is higher than it's ever been for great reason. Microplastics are hurting not only the environment, but also we're starting to realize what they're doing to our health, being linked to things like heart disease and cancers and inflammation. The amount that we consume would kind of blow your mind. We need a real solution to this issue real quickly. The biggest companies in the world have recognized their contribution to that.
Those comments from Dylan Baxter with bioplastics company PlantSwitch. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Thursday. Cattle futures started the day higher, but that didn't last long. We quickly turned lower and added to those losses as the trading day wore on. On the close, we were sharply lower in both live and feeder cattle futures. April live cattle down 297, 186.95. June down 267, 183.37. August down 227 at 182.10. Feeder cattle lower. March down 280, 247.47. April down 467, 251.17. The May down 377 at 254.82. In the cash markets, cash fed cattle seeing a few sales reported in the Northern Plains. Live sales at 187 to 188, dressed sales at 301. Here in the Southern Plains, no sales reported yet, feedlots asking 188 this week. Boxed beef was higher, choice up $1.05 at 310.87, select up 40 cents, 301.44. Now here's a look at the auction barns with Larry Marble.
Doug Bass sold cattle at Cattleman's Columbus on Wednesday. Doug, how did it go?
We ended up with 676 head of cattle and had a really good set of cattle on hand, too.
Walk the pens with me.
Yes, sir. On your weigh-in cows, your thinner lower yielding cows, 80 to 98. Medium flesh cows, $1 to 108. Good cows, 110 to 131. Lower yielding bulls, 110 to 118. Better high yielding bulls, 121 to 151. Pairs, we had some really good pairs yesterday. Pairs bring from 1650 to 3000. Bred cows, 1350 to 2600. The calf market, like I said, it looked really good again. 2 to 3 weight steers, 270 to 405. Heifers, 260 to 390. 3 to 4 weight steers, 260 to 390. Heifers, 250 to 350. 4 to 5 weight steers, 250 to 365. Heifers, 240 to 337. 5 to 6 weight steers, 235 to 330. Heifers, 220 to 312. 6 to 7 weight steers, 230 to 288. Heifers, $2 to $2.50. 7 to 8 weight steers, 195 to 250. Heifers, 180 to 249. And your 800 to 1,000 pound steers and bullions bring 185 to 247. Heiferettes, 135 to $2.
So you had a good sale. What do you know of for next week?
We're getting a few calls. Yes, sir. Getting a few calls for next week. So excited to have a sale again. And we have decided also that we're going to have a special sale May the 25th there at Columbus. So we are taking consignments for that. If anybody's interested, then sure, just give us a call.
Tell us how to get a hold of you, Doug.
Yes, sir. My cell is 979-877-4454. Office, 979-732-2622.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ms. Larry. Y'all have a good week.
And neighbor, we hope you have a good week, too. Come on back Monday through Friday for more Walking the Pens, Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now. Early hogs were mixed. April hogs up 15 cents, 85.02. May down 25, 91.60. Class 3 milk was mixed. Nearby March milk down 7, 16.45 a hundredweight. April milk up 11 at 16.30 a hundred. A strong dollar put big pressure on the cotton market. We closed with May cotton dropping 142 points, 93.48. July down 108 points, 93.26, with new crop December cotton down 53 at 83.43 cents. A promising weather forecast for Brazil continues to pressure the corn market. May corn down 7.5 at 4.33¾. September corn down 5¾, 4.55¼. Another disappointing week of export sales continues to push the wheat market lower. Of course, same story we've been reporting, Russia dominating world wheat trade right now. And that, of course, hampering our export sales. May Kansas City wheat down 12¾, 5.74¾. New crop July down 11½ at 5.68. Same thing in the soft wheat market. May Chicago wheat down 12, 5.32¼. New crop July down 11 at 5.47¼. In the energy markets, April natural gas was up 8 cents at $1.74. April West Texas crude up $1.40, 81.12 a barrel. The financial markets lower, with the Dow down 137 points, 38,905. The NASDAQ down 49, 16,128. The S&P down 14 points, 5,150. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.